As most of y'all know, I'm a mom to three young kids, and I know a lot of you guys are too. And the one thing we all use is diapers. That's why I want to tell you about how great Pampers Cruisers 360 is. Pampers Cruisers 360 is a must-have baby-proof diaper for your wild child. I don't know about your children, but Sunday, who is now two, has figured out how to strap on and off her own diaper, but Pampers Cruisers 360 will fix that problem. Unlike ordinary taped diapers where babies can rip off the tape or the tabs, Cruisers 360 is tape-free and hence removal-proof and baby-proof. It has a 360-degree stretchy waistband that simply slides right on. Pampers Cruisers 360 keeps up with your wild child with up to a 100% leak-proof, gap-free fit. No matter how your baby moves, it's the ultimate baby-proof. Try Pampers Cruisers 360 with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. They're made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess, with Free and Gentle mess meets its match. Add Pampers Cruisers 360 and Free and Gentle Wipes to your cart or pick them up at your local grocery or big box store. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Family time is precious, and connecting over a home-cooked meal, now that's what love is all about. But for most of us, finding the time to plan meals, do the shopping, and cook from scratch can feel impossible. That's where Gobble comes in. Each week, choose from their rotating menu of 18-plus gourmet meals, mix and match from classic recipes, lean and clean recipes, and vegetarian options, and Gobble will deliver right to your door. Plus, they have lunch options like salads and soups, breakfast kits, and even desserts. We had the turkey enchiladas the other night, and it was a huge crowd favorite in my home with all my children and Kyle. It was absolutely delicious and, more importantly, easy to prepare. See what a difference Gobble will make for your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited-time deal. Get $120 off across four boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. Go to gobble.com/livingfully. That's GOBBLE.com/livingfully. That offer is not available on their home site, so don't miss out. Are you ready to start living your best life today? Hey y'all, I'm Mallory and welcome to the Living Fully podcast. I'm a wife, mom, and entrepreneur here to encourage you toward a life of joy and fulfillment. My heart of big dreams took me a long way from growing up on a farm in Kentucky, from Miss America and The Amazing Race, all the way to writing a best-selling book and creating two multi-million dollar merchandise lines. Through this crazy journey, I've had a lot of highs and some lows, but I found my true self along the way. So now my hope is to motivate you to find your own version of living fully. Here, we believe you have a choice in your legacy. So let's start living it out today. I'm Mallory, and this is the Living Fully podcast. Welcome back to the Living Fully podcast. So it's not every day that I get to have someone that I'm this close to on the podcast. And you know what makes it funny when I have guests like this? It's like, it's really funny to be so formal with questions and answers to someone that you talk to pretty much every day of your life. Yeah. So, hello, Sean Johnson.
Hello, Mallory Irvin Demiola.
This is going to be a great conversation because we haven't talked about some of these things since 2019. The last time that Sean was on the podcast was in 2019. But Sean and I's friendship spans over a decade.
Which is wild. You know, I still have so many people say, do you know Mallory Irvin?
Oh, I'm like, excuse me. They do not.
They do. People are like, you know Mallory? How do you know Mallory? How do you?
I feel like I was there when she had her children. I was there when she wed her husband.
Who both been each other's weddings.
I was there when she was engaged.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were there for old boyfriends.
Yeah. It's been quite a long road.
Yes.
And in case you guys have been living under a rock for the last two decades, Sean also was an Olympic gold medalist in 2008, mm-hmm. Beijing Olympics. So in Olympic season, I'm really excited to talk about the Olympics because we talked about the Olympics like a lot, maybe in the beginning of our friendship. And then, and then we just really talk about only kids.
Only kids. Illnesses, rashes.
Chipped
teeth. What's bad enough to go to the ER?
Yeah, restroom things with kids. You know, there's a lot of things that we talk about now, but we don't really talk about Beijing 2008. No. I had to say to her just now, what year of the Olympics did you do? And she said 2008. Dancing with the Stars, 2009, 2012. I mean, Celebrity Apprentice. You've done a lot of things of the real stats.
And then we met because I was one of the judges of the of Miss America in 2010. Yes.
Okay. So,
oh my God.
Not only is Sean an Olympian, a Dancing with the Stars champion, all of these things, but Sean is also my very closest friend. Yeah. And like we said, we have been friends for a really long time, but a lot of people don't know the story of how we first met. Yes. So I'll let Sean tell that story.
Okay. Well, I somehow found myself as a judge of the 2010 Miss America pageant. I was 17 years old, mm-hmm. which is wild. Mm-hmm. And going through the judging, I just remember this girl, Miss Kentucky, skipping across the stage, stood out like a sore thumb in the most amazing way. But I was like, oh, I bet we would be friends. But because of the judge thing, I wasn't allowed to like talk to anybody. We couldn't know each other, whatever. Mm-hmm. Fast forward 2013. Mm-hmm. I was in a Michael's
craft store
in Nashville, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and I'm looking for something. And I get someone taps me on the back and they're like, "Excuse me, miss, do you know where I can find some tassels?" And I turned around and I was like, "Miss Kentucky? I didn't even know your name." And you were like, "Sean Johnson? What are you doing here?" You were literally wearing a Miss America pageant hat.
And that was the only time I have ever worn that hat, ever. It was a pink hat. It was my sister's.
Yeah.
And it said Miss America on it. And
you thought I worked there.
I thought she worked there.
You told me, we started talking, and you told me that day you had found yourself in some abandoned house.
I had.
In Southern Franklin, where you fell through the roof.
No, it was in Kentucky. Mm-hmm.
You like fell through the roof and ended up in the basement, but then found some jewels or something, took mm-hmm. them home and strung them on. What was his name? Her name? The moose?
Oh, Francis.
Francis.
How did you even remember the
Francis was hanging above your couch, and literally within like 20 minutes of talking, we became like best friends.
Yeah. And you know what is really funny? There are those moments in your life where it's like, had that not happened the exact way,
yeah,
I would not have had my closest friend. And Sean and I have a very deep, rich friendship. And if I hadn't walked into aisle whatever B3 looking for tassels yeah. and if she hadn't been, no, you know what you were doing, it was when you were in that phase where you were doing those wooden plaque things
with
and
the
you were
nails
doing states.
Yeah,
she was nailing nails into a piece of wood that was in the shape of a state, and then you would do the strings from nail to nail to nail and you were making it for your mom. And so if Sean hadn't been in her random crafting phase there by herself, if I hadn't been in my very bizarre, a little bit of a spiral phase where I was hanging tassels off of everything, we would not have met. And I can't honestly, like, there are two times in my life where I, actually three, and you were there at two of them, mm-hmm. times in my life where I'm like, if that hadn't happened exactly like that, my life would have gone in a totally different direction. Yeah. That was one of them. And Kyle. Meeting Kyle.
Yeah.
But then the second time that when Kyle and I got back together, it was total, like another random meeting in another random coffee shop. Sean was with me.
Gray, you turned white as a ghost. We were in we're going down
we're starting this podcast with memory lane.
We were in Red Bicycle in Germantown, Nashville, and we walk in, we were going there every single week, you mm-hmm. and I,
we were in a phase of crepes
on a random day. We walk in and at the front of the line you literally see the back of someone's head and your face went ghost white and you're like, it's Kyle. And I was like, Mal, calm down. You're fine.
She was facing backwards. Like, he was behind her. He was in the line. And I was, like, panicking. Because that was the time. So, Sean and I met before I went to treatment. Kyle and I had broken up. And, like, we had absolutely no contact.
Yeah.
And I had not seen him. Not, like, nothing. No contact or anything. And that was so random that we, like, were there that day. Kyle never went to Red Bicycle, ever. That was like his one time going to Fido when we first met and his one time going to Red Bicycle. And it was just like, I'd gained 30 pounds. I had like chin length hair. Like, I didn't know what I was doing with my life. Me and Sean were just like doing the most random things. Yes, I remember our fashion. We wore the exact same things every day. Sean and I wore the same exact jeans. They were like gold sign jeans, rails mm-hmm. buttoned down, plaid shirts.
With rag and bone
booties. And like our lariats.
Yes. Oh, yes. We were twins.
Eyeliner on the top and bottom.
Yes.
And I think we wore the same perfume. The same everything. And like, that's just like such a, I mean, I always say, I probably don't say it to you that much, but I say to other people that like God put you in my life at that time.
Same.
It was like a wild, wild thing because I was really struggling at that time because, you know, I'd really spiraled in my life and I'd done all these things. And then I was in like a really just not a great place where I was like, gosh, like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And you were ushered into my life at the best time. And then I got to travel with Sean and I would do, quote unquote, do her makeup. But like, I was just like, we were just there having a great time. Sean was doing all these huge things and I was just there being like,
no,
go Sean. And it was just like such a good season of life. And, you know, she was dating Andrew. I was like getting back together with Kyle. But like, it was just like such a season because you were also kind of mm-hmm. on the heels of doing massive, amazing, major things. But being like, so what's the rest of my life going to look like? Yeah,
I was completely in an identity crisis as well.
So and we together in our identity crisis really made it happen. And now we're in a great spot. Yeah. But it's nice to have someone that's experienced that part of life with you.
I will also say, I think the coolest, as your friend, the coolest thing I think I've ever seen you do is write your book and actually tell your story. Because I got to live through it.
Yeah, you did.
And it's so incredible. I have told people for years, not to your face, which is like that best friend thing that you see on Instagram.
Yes, where
it's
totally.
Like, we don't really hug or anything, but it's just like, whatever.
Yeah. I haven't seen that, but that's totally it. People are like, do you and Sean still hang out? And I'm like, yeah, we talk or FaceTime almost every day. And I was just there last night. And it's like, well, we don't take pictures anymore. So I guess it doesn't count to other people. But yeah. That's funny. They don't really hug, but like we're.
But like living through it firsthand, I cannot applaud you enough for like how much you have gone through and dug your way out of a hole and built the most beautiful life.
Thank you.
And everybody used to like comment of like, oh, it's been easy for her and stuff. I'm like, if only you knew.
It ain't been easy.
If only you knew how strong you are. And it's really cool.
That really means a lot coming from you. And I can still remember the days, like, of course my family believed in me, but I think that they were a little bit leery of me going into anything that was in the spotlight at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you were my only person really that was like, you need to do this and sell it on Etsy, or you need to do this blog.
I made your first Etsy account.
Or you need to do this thing. I can still remember we'd be in like clothing stores together and they would be like, Mallory, hey, like, what are you doing? And Sean would be like, well, I think she's so creative. She needs to make these things and sell them on Etsy, or she needs to be writing something. Like, you just always believed in me just stepping back into like what I loved to mm-hmm. do. And that's why I think it was just such a God thing that you were sent into my life, because I don't know if my life would have gone in the direction that it went in had I not had that one person.
Thank you. Right back at you. I don't know how I would have. I started YouTube because of you. Remember this?
Funny, like that we all just, were like ping pong balls. Like, you should do this.
You got pitched by agents for YouTube. And we were in LA, Andrew and I, and I was used to like the agent scene.
Oh, you came to my meeting with me.
Yes.
At the Grove.
I was used to the agent scene as a professional athlete, but we had not started social media at all, but you had started social media.
Yeah.
And Andrew and I came with you to help vet like the agent.
Yeah.
And then it was after hearing this pitch, Andrew was like, maybe we should start a YouTube channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you taught us how to do social media.
So we were there for Dancing with the Stars, right?
Yeah.
And remember, and we were there and Lewis Howes was like in the same hotel because he was getting his house like redone or something.
Yes.
And like we were hanging out with Lewis and like
we did the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah. We've had a lot of random experiences together.
Wow.
What a life we've lived. Yeah. And then, you know, Sean and I 100 times thought we were going to get engaged and we would get our nails done and we would like anticipate and be like, do you think? No.
But it was only when you got proposed to.
I know.
It was the most special. It was so sweet.
I had to hear about it, I think, from like some random person that told me they'd seen it on the news with yours, because Andrew didn't
tell anybody.
I think he told me that it was happening, but I didn't know it was happening at the baseball game. And so like a random person
he didn't
told me,
because
you obviously called me after you got off of the field.
Yeah.
But like, I think a random person told me it was okay.
I don't think
Andrew.
I know, but Andrew didn't know he was proposing on the baseball field. He'll even tell you he didn't decide to propose until that day.
That's a very Andrew thing.
Yeah.
We talked about a long time ago, since the Olympics is coming up, And how many years has it been since you've done the Olympics? Wow.
Oh, gosh.
20. Let's see. Let's count this
what
up.
What year is it?
16 years. This has been 16 years.
Yeah.
Which means it's been 15 years since I did Miss America. Or, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're old.
Woo! It's a long time.
We're in our 30s.
We are.
Period.
But we talked about the Olympics in the beginning. So going back, like, what does it feel like to go back? Does it feel just like nostalgic? Does it feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm done with it? What does it feel like?
It feels odd. I don't know. I feel like it's evolved because I've been blessed to like go back to the Olympics many times since 2008, being able to like work them. And I would say it like changes every 4 years. It just mm-hmm. kind of evolves because like I would say since I competed in 2008, in 2012 and in 2016, it felt like I still had that sense of like when I walked in, I was like, oh, maybe I should be back out there or like whatever. I still felt attached to it. Whereas now I just don't feel that attachment mm-hmm. to the like gymnastics. So when I go back, it's just respect.
Yeah.
Like, yes, my heart starts pounding. I get excited. It's just something that I lived and breathed for so long. But it's just, I just have the utmost respect for everybody there because of what they've done. And I just get to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. This time will be cool. I'm actually taking all the kids.
I know. That's going to be so awesome.
And Andrew. And we've never been to a games together, Andrew and I.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
So it'll be this weird full circle moment, which the kids will care nothing about, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which will be fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. What's something that like people don't know about it?
I would say two things come to mind. In gymnastics specifically, and I think this happens in a lot of the other sports, there are a lot of rounds of competition that happen at the Olympics that you'll never see.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So like in gymnastics, okay, you'll go through two rounds of competition before you ever make air, and you have to qualify through those.
Oh, I didn't know that. So does everybody just qualify? Because I feel like the people...
Not
who go
everybody. Huh. No. And the other thing is at the Olympic Village, something that I think is so, so cool. People have always asked me, like, is it really competitive? Are the countries like, you know, what's the dynamic between all the athletes? And I just remember as a 16-year-old kid walking around the Olympic Village, everybody is so nice to each mm-hmm. other and like respectful and in awe of each other. Mm-hmm. Like I remember walking around the village and thinking, oh my goodness, like every single person here is an Olympian in their sport. And there's like no contentious feelings. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're just in awe. You're like a kid in a candy store.
Who were your year of the Olympics? Like who were your like friends?
On my team or like, just like in general?
The Olympics, like in all the Olympics, did you have anybody that you were like, you became friends with or that you really liked like from your year?
So we were really close to the men's water polo team. The way that, which is random, but the way you get housed in the village usually uh-huh. kind of forms your circles because you're in Beijing, we were living in apartment complexes. Uh-huh. So whoever's in the apartment next to you or like whatever. Uh-huh. And they were just like these older guys that kind of took us in as like little sisters. And so we were with them a lot. I became really close with Steven Lopez. He was one of the USA Taekwondo athletes. Sonia Richards Ross, who is a sprinter.
Yeah.
And then who else? The USA cycling team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were next to us as well. And they would throw us Snickers bars.
How crazy off the is it that you like all live together? I think that's so like pure and like so like cool of them to do, because like what an experience. I mean, to do the Olympics, like that's an experience that just, it's not even a 1% of the 1%, it's like a 1% of the 0.001%, you know. And it's so cool that it's not so precious that they still like put you all together and that you live together. Like what an experience.
It was really special. So in our apartment was our Olympic team. And even that was really cool because it had 3 bedrooms and it had like a common space, and just being able to share that space together mm-hmm. for 3.5 weeks as 16-year-old kids.
Oh my gosh. It was like camp. It was like only camp. You were competing on the world stage.
And I remember like we were kids. We were like drawing pictures and hanging them above our beds and watching. I think we watched The Miracle the night before the team competition. And we'd go out on the balcony and talk to the teams that were above us and below us. Because we were kids and because we were the U.S. women's gymnastics team, we get, like, the security of it is mm-hmm. kind of hard. So we're not allowed to leave our rooms without mm-hmm. security and like just chaperones.
The people that were your age though,
right? Yeah, since we were under eight, yeah. we were minors living in an apartment mm-hmm. complex by ourselves, so we had high security. So we would go out on the balconies and talk to the teams above that us and so below awesome. us, and they would like toss us Snickers bars and like we just sit out there and chit chat like little kids.
That's so awesome. It's like summer camp, only you're doing the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's like those little things that are so behind the scenes that people don't really get to picture. Because, well, nowadays, I guess they do because of the beauty of social media. I feel like the athletes now, because you didn't have social media back then, right?
No. I think 2008 was the launch of Twitter. So this is funny. I distinctly remember when the USA team, I don't know with other countries, but when the USA teams head off to the Olympics, mm-hmm. this is something nobody knows. Mm-hmm. You go through what's called processing.
Okay.
So every sport in the country for the United States goes to the same location at some time. Our year it was Houston. And you go to either like a college campus or something and you get housed for 2 or 3 days and you go through what's called processing. And that's where you get all of your Olympic gear. They walk you through. You get like your Olympic ring. You place your order for it. You go through all of like the rules that the United States puts on your kind of like representation. So I remember we had to sit through a class on social media and they were talking to us about Twitter and how it was a reflection of the United States, whatever we tweeted, and we had to be careful. And I didn't have Twitter at the time. I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. But you go through 3 days of like your like rules and regulations.
Camp? Interesting.
Yeah. And it's just they're kind of unifying the country mm-hmm. to all be on the same
page
going in. What you say to press about certain topics that are relevant at the time.
Wow.
Is
it still like that?
Yeah. Everyone goes through processing. You have to.
No, I didn't know that.
But the best part is that's when you really get to cool. go at every processing, they rent out some sort of warehouse. This is the best part. You get your shopping cart and it's like going through a Home Depot of United Olympic States gear.
That's awesome.
And you get, and usually the gymnasts are last though. So the only thing left are like extra larges and pantsuits and stuff.
Pantsuits. Did you ever have a moment at the Olympics where you felt like this is my mountaintop moment? Like, was it like winning a gold or winning a silver?
I would say like my mountain peak at the Olympics was my all around competition. So I competed in four different competitions. I can't remember. Like medal opportunities, which was the team competition, the all around beam and floor. So yeah, four. And we got silver in the team. I got silver on all around, silver on floor, and a gold on beam. Mm-hmm. But my favorite moment was the all around.
Was that the story? So what I was thinking of, because remember when you never looked at the scores?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. That's my favorite story because I also think that it shows mindset and pressure and how much pressure can actually affect the way that you show up in the world and your performance at that level.
Yeah.
And whenever I used to travel with Sean and we would go and she would like speak at college campuses or places, every single time you told that story, it inspired me every single time. And I actually think about that and I tell people that story and stuff. And I would love for you to tell that story because it is just it's a testament to like how when you release the pressure that you put on yourself, how you can perform in the world like so much better. I mean, you were performing a gymnastics routine that was very intense, but like I even think it applies to other things. So tell everybody this story.
Well, it's usually an hour long lecture, so I'll summarize it.
Summarize the story.
So during the all around competition, which was like my specialty, what I trained for, which was competing on vault bars, beam, and floor. It was like an accumulative score. What I had been taught in my training is that in every competition, I was never allowed to look at the scores, ever.
Was that just you or everybody?
That was just me because we all have different coaches. Mm-hmm. So that was my coach's technique. I was never allowed to look at the scores. I would study the scores after competition just to see like what I could improve on, but never in competition. So my coach always taught me like my biggest competitor is myself. How do you feel that you have done? And I was very, very objective to my own performances. So completely not based on scores, I could tell you if that was a good routine or a bad routine. During the all-around game or the all-around competition, I went through 3 of the 4 events. I hadn't looked at any scores, obviously. I'd never done that my entire career. And for some reason at the Olympic Games, I was like, oh, this is a good time to start looking at scores. So I looked at the score before I went up to compete. And there it was only like Nasty and I who were the contenders right then at that moment for the first place spot. And I remember seeing the scores and kind of being deflated because I had done the math and I couldn't win the gold medal. I was the last person to compete that day because Nastia had just finished and the scores didn't work out. So like even my perfect score wouldn't have given me the gold medal. And I remember thinking at the time, like I had lost. I remember Bob Costas was already telling all the viewers that that had happened and being so affected by it. But literally within a second, thinking to myself at 16 years old, which I was really proud of, even if you can't win the medal, at least go out and act like you deserved it, mm-hmm. in the sense of like
prove that you should have won it.
I knew that I couldn't, and I was really proud of Nastia, but like she was my best friend, and so it was this conflicting moment of like I want the best for her, but I can't let that affect my competition. So I remember feeling like the world of pressure and weight had lifted off my shoulders, because at that moment, I had thought was like I had let down the world already, but I was just doing it for myself, and it was the best I've ever felt in my entire competition career. I performed that floor routine feeling weightless and feeling like this is truly just for myself, and it was so much fun. And at the end, I remember like everyone cheering and the flags, and me and Nastia hugged and we were crying. And she ended up getting, obviously, the gold medal. I got the silver. And I just remember feeling so proud because it was no longer for anyone else. It was for myself.
Yeah. I remember the first time that I heard you tell that story and you were like, it felt like I was flying.
Yeah.
Like in that. And I thought about that because I, at the time, you know, had just emerged from this thing that I had gone through that was largely fueled by this pressure that I had put on myself and expectations of the people around me. Mm-hmm. It was not the entire globe like your 16-year-old pressure was, but it was the state and like my hometown and my family, sure. which felt as big to me. And I can still remember like when I decided to let the pressure off and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna tell everybody that what I went through. It's two totally different things, but I think that when you just let go of other people's expectations, it's really unbelievable, like
mm-hmm. it's freeing. And I remember thinking,
that's a cool story.
At that time at 16, I was thinking of like, there was a Wheaties deal in the mix. And I remember thinking, standing up on the podium, I was like, oh, if I don't get this gold medal, I'm not going to get the Wheaties mm-hmm. box. And it was just like all of my priorities were out of whack. And when I confirmed that I had, quote unquote, like failed or came in second, it was like, doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. Let's just go have fun.
Yeah. I feel like, too, whenever you were on the team for the next Olympics, mm-hmm. and at the time, like, you would have been one of the older gymnasts to ever compete or to compete in consecutive Olympics, or would you have been the only one to compete in consecutive Olympics?
No, there were others who had competed in consecutive Olympics. I would have been on the older age. For the United States in specific, there hadn't been many girls mm-hmm. to ever repeat, so I would have been one of, like... Mm-hmm. very few.
And I can remember like one of the first conversations that you and I had, and I think this is when I was like, man, she is not only like, are you all of the things that Shawn Johnson is, mm-hmm. but like also you were just a really great person that cares. You care a lot about other people. And I think that's where Drew gets it from too. Drew is such an empath, and like so yes. she is such an emotional child in all of the good ways. Mm-hmm. And she gets that from you. You're a little bit more, you're hardcore and you kind of like can stuff it down.
Yeah,
she can't stuff it down, and no. I love that. I love to watch you with a child that like is so emotional. I watched her like 2 days ago when we were eating spaghetti at your house, and she bit her tongue, and I was watching Sean be like, oh, that must have really hurt. Are you okay? Is it bleeding? That must have really scared you. And I looked at Sean and I was like, man, can my kids come over here? Because like we're like, you're fine. She's like, it's just with Drew. And then Jet literally ran into ran into a brick wall,
yeah,
going 15 miles an hour, and she didn't even get up out of her chair because he was totally fine. But it's just like,
she's my little feeler.
She's your little feeler. Mm-hmm. But the first story that you told me, gosh, probably 12 years ago, that I was like, man, what an amazing person, was when you decided at the last minute, when you had millions of dollars of sponsorships and you were already like on the team, getting ready to go to the Olympics, when you decided to step down from the team and be like, I'm taking somebody else's spot that is probably more qualified.
Well, you just made that sound a lot better than it was.
It was.
I wasn't on the team. I was vying for the team. I was getting ready to go to like championships and then trials and kind of like vie for it. And when at the time, given like the situation in gymnastics, if you had seniority of any kind, like experience, that was heavily weighted.
Yeah.
And I remember right before championships, which was like the second to last selection, I was doing a pretty good job. I had worked really hard. I was getting ready. I had a decent performance to show, I would say. I remember just feeling so tapped out. It didn't matter to me anymore. And I remember going through this hypothetical situation of like, if somehow, you know, I get selected for this team, which could happen with seniority, I don't really.
Okay, I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there. And I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Lil Critters. So it's back to school time, and this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And that is Lil Critters gummy vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting their essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Lil Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids their vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality customizable photo goods for your digital photos. Driven by belief that everyone has a story to tell, this company is known for its elevated design and thoughtfully sourced materials. Signature products include the Lay Flat album, touting ultra-thick pages and foil-stamped covers, textured matte everyday prints, and a line of customizable frames. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, they have a product you can personalize. I don't know about your kids, but Ford and Shep love flipping through photo book memories that we have laying around our house that we've made with Artifact Uprising. We have some from our wedding, vacations through the years, and holidays, and I love having the books around the house for the whole family to enjoy. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, Living Fully listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers, or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use the code LIVINGFULLY through December 31st. As a woman, we all know what it's like to be on a hormonal roller coaster. I certainly know personally what it's like, the cravings, the ups and downs, and all the things that come with it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier by creating supplements with science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Adaptogens help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. This isn't only for women, though, going through big things like menopause. Women with any symptom of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopausal symptoms that can put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes, night sweats, low mood, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. Lastly, it's not just a supplement, it's a phenomenon. There's a huge rave about it on social media, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code LIVINGFULLY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code LIVINGFULLY for 15% off today.
Want it.
And you're taking the spot of someone who was you 4 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. And I remember thinking, this is the clear indication that like my time is done.
Yeah. Was that hard to choose?
It was hard to choose only because at the time, the way all of these endorsement deals worked for me, and I hope all these people are fine with me sharing these. I'll get a letter in the mail. The way the endorsement deals worked back then, they were all like hypothetical deals pretty much. Like I had signed contracts saying, if I make the Olympic team,
this is your deal.
This is your deal. And if you get a medal, this is your deal. But they had kind of like bought in and gambled on me, a lot of these companies. And it was really good companies. And I had felt such an immense pressure to perform for other people. Yeah. And I felt trapped in the situation of like, my agents, everybody around me, all these endorsement deals and products and people, I had to go do it for them. It was no longer about me. It was no longer about my performance. It was about them. And I remember feeling guilty as a 19-year-old kid at that time of knowing it was my time to finish and be done, but then having to let all these people down.
Yeah.
And I will say straight up, some people took it beautifully and some people were very, very upset. But I truly felt like it was a God thing. I was done and I was supposed to walk away from those games or like vying for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great story though. And like something that I think it would have been very hard for a lot of people to walk away from that. You probably wouldn't have had to work a day in your life after that. I mean, those were big deals.
They were big deals. I mean, at the time they were big deals for me, but it's just,
If Drew wanted to do the Olympics in gymnastics, would you let her do it?
Yes.
Good.
She can do, I will be her biggest cheerleader in whatever she chooses. I will say this. I've always said this. If Drew proceeds down the gymnastics route, which I really don't think she will because she's already not interested. Her thing is ice skating. That's all she wants to do
she
in life.
She does love ice skating.
Is ice skate. If she pursues down gymnastics, my biggest fear for her is gymnastics is such a small world. I don't think anybody would give her a fair chance to be a kid and to fail. I think the greatest gift you can give any kid in any sport or in any hobby is like to fail over and over again. Just like shamelessly.
But she's your child.
And people would expect her to be good. And that's not fair. That's not fair for her. I like that she likes ice skating right now.
She does like ice skating. She likes a lot of things.
She does.
She likes singing. And I'm encouraging Drew's singing talent.
You have to help me. I don't know what to do with this.
One day, and I heard Drew singing in the other room. And I was like, what? And I walked closer. And it was like perfect pitch. She had a vibrato, which is like where your voice like, and it was beautiful. And I walked in there and I was like, why didn't you tell me she sang?
I was like, I don't know.
I am your friend who is a singer. Why didn't you tell me she, and you're like, I don't know what's good. And I was like, if my child went out to the yard and did a round off six times back tuck, I would be like, Sean, I think he could do the Olympics.
I don't know music. I didn't know it was a good thing.
So then I bought her a boombox with a microphone. And I was like, you need to lean into this because she is a good singer.
I don't know how to lean into it. That's why you need to help me. Like, I don't know how to foster singing.
I'll help you. But she has a natural talent for singing. And I want that to be encouraged. So
tell me where to take her.
That's where we're at right now. Where I'm going to have to do some research because as a child singer, I did not have any type of lessons until I was older than her. But
I was gonna say, she just needs to
sing in her house more. You need to get her some instrumental tracks and a microphone.
She does, but she's also such a feeler that if I put her on the spot, she's like, she cowers in. Not cowers. I don't mean that in a bad way.
And like feel it out. But I'm just really, she's just a really good little singer.
She was singing to Bear in the car the other day, and it melted me.
Yeah, she's a great little singer.
I know.
I love Drew. Drew Hazel is my precious, sweet little friend. I will never forget the moment. So Shepherd and Drew are,
A month apart.
A month apart. Three weeks apart.
Yeah.
And so I was in Shepherd's bedroom and it was pitch dark and I was like nursing him. And I had my phone beside me because I was waiting for the FaceTime from Andrew because I would have been at the hospital, but I had this brand new baby.
You had a brand new baby.
And you were trying to have Drew naturally and then it went into, it was just this whole big hullabaloo. Yeah. So anyways, and I was supposed to find out what the baby, you had sent me the results, but then you decided not to do it or anything. So I don't know why. I just expected it to be a boy.
We all thought it was a boy.
And then when he said it's a girl, I was like, it's a girl?
A girl.
It's a girl? I couldn't believe it was a girl. And like, she was so meant to be. Of course, we have the same two boys and a girl because everything in Sean and I's life is this bizarre, weird parallel.
Yeah.
But that was just like such a special moment. I can still remember where I was sitting in my house when he called and said that. And
I'll never remember. Really I'll awesome. Never forget when you called me to tell me you had a girl.
Yeah, because where were you? I don't remember what was going on.
You
were coming in from somewhere because you were there with Ford and you were there with Shepherd. And
I was a day late with Sunday.
Yeah, you were a day late.
Yeah.
Did you think it was a girl? I can't remember.
Was Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Coming from a family who we have like all boys, I didn't want to get my hopes up because you wanted a girl so bad.
I wanted a girl so bad.
Mallory and I have these like really weird things.
Yeah, really weird. And we figured out a lot of these things when we were like running around the Titan Stadium like 12 years ago, and we were just talking about our lives, because that was the beginning of Manichon's friendship. We just ran everywhere. We just like ran.
I don't like to
run. You weren't really a runner, and I wasn't really a runner, but our friendship really had a lot of running.
We used to go on like midnight runs to the church to light candles.
Yeah, we did. I was like, but I run to this church, and I light candles and say prayers. And you were like, okay. We like run there, and you were like, can we go in here? And I was like, yeah, it's Jesus' house. Come on.
But we have all these like really random same things. Mm-hmm.
So our dads have the same middle names. Our parents had the same anniversary. Yep. They had the same number of like bridesmaids with the same color of bridesmaid dresses.
Yeah.
Like basically who's Sean's sister, Tori, and I have the same birthday.
Yep.
We have the same. It is so many. Like there's too many things to count.
And then the weird one was, do you remember when I got in the car accident?
Oh, yeah. I knew she got. I had a dream while this car accident was happening.
Yes. So I got in a.
Tell this story.
That's I got a in a pretty story. Pretty good bad car. I'm not trying to laugh it off, but it was terrifying. Bad car accident in Indianapolis. After the accident had happened, mm-hmm. I was like dealing with the police officers and the mm-hmm. ambulances and like everything. And I had lost my phone. And so probably an hour goes by and they ended up finding my phone in my car that was completely totaled. And on my phone, when they gave it to me, I had one message from Allie that said, I just had a dream. You got in a bad accident. Call me. And I was like, this is the weirdest thing. And then Mallory has told me I was pregnant before I even knew I was pregnant. Both times I told you you were pregnant.
Yeah.
It's been weird.
It's like twin talk.
It's like we're twins. Were we separated at birth?
Maybe. I don't have the athletic ability that you do, but maybe my singing talents went to Drew.
I can't sing.
I mean, it's just...
And Drew is Mallory's child, pretty much.
Yeah, she is my child.
She is all fashion and glam mm-hmm. and can sing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's my child.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and there are like a million more things.
Yeah.
And I feel like we don't look... We've looked alike in our former years when we were dressing probably because we were dressing exactly alike. And I was doing her makeup exactly like mine. And like we were a lot alike. I remember like people being like, you look like that girl in that Wheaties box or that cherry. I was like, yeah, she's actually my closest friend. And they were like, what? Or they would be like, are you that gymnastics girl? And I was like, this is so funny. People even think we look the same. There's this thing that you told me about the Olympics that I really like, because I'm into visualization. And you used to tell me that a lot of the girls would like practice more than you. And you that was it Chow that told you to visualize your routines over and over?
Yes.
In your mind.
So we used to do, I would get sent home when it was close to competition season. I would get sent home from practice with homework. And it was while you lay in bed, he would give me a certain amount of numbers. Like you have to visualize your routines X amount of times. And bear with me here. I'll try to explain this. With every single routine, I had to picture myself doing it perfectly. If anything ever happened in my visualization, like I wobbled or fell or made a mistake, I had to cut it off and start over. And it's actually interesting. So for some reason, your mind actually wants to picture yourself doing things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally like a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And my assignments or homework would get more and more difficult. It'd be like, picture yourself doing 7 beam routines perfect in a row. So if I pictured a wobble, I literally would have to like exhale all the routines and start over. And he's like, if you can get to a place where your mind is strong enough to only picture yourself doing something well, then your body will follow. And then it would become more and more encompassing. So every night before a competition, I wouldn't have to practice at all. But I would go into the gym and I'd have to sit on each piece of equipment. And he said, I want you to picture yourself walking into the arena. What does it sound like? What does it smell like? What do you see? What are you looking at? And he'd basically say, like, do dry runs of your competition.
That's so wild.
And that's what I did all the time.
And you felt like it was really effective.
Yeah.
Do you still use it today in your life ever? I feel like we picture ourselves doing things wrong every once in a while.
Yeah.
Then we tell each other and then we're like, that's wrong. Like you're wrong about being wrong. Cause like, that's not the case. What you're picturing in your mind right now.
Really do it. I probably should.
Mm-hmm. I visualize a lot of things, but I think, you know, something that I do, I don't consistently journal, but I started like reading. A lot of high level people will replay their day, but they'll take out the things that went wrong and they'll replay their day as like all of the good things.
Have you done the gratitude journal yet?
Yeah, I do gratitude at the end of my journal every day. No,
so there's something called gratitude journal. Buy it on Amazon. No, Andrew and I started doing it probably 6 months ago, and it's incredible. It's that.
Oh, it is?
So
okay.
It takes 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes at night. It's 5 minutes a day. You wake up and it says, what are three things you're grateful for? What are three things that can make your day great? Okay. What's your affirmation of the day? Mm-hmm. And then at night you say, what are three highlights of the day?
Oh, that's the same thing then, yeah.
Yeah, but it's cool because there is no place for negativity. Mm-hmm. So it literally like erases it from your memory.
Yeah.
It just reinforces good.
Yeah, reinforces good.
It's
yeah.
so good.
That's what I feel like I do with my journal. I've consistently journaled since January 1st. And I write out and like replay all the good things that happen. And then I do the gratitude at the bottom. And I just feel like it's reinforcing the good. So I feel like it's not the exact same as like what you were doing sitting on the equipment, like visualizing the things, but it's visualizing things going right. Mm-hmm. And I think so many times, like in our lives, we visualize everything that could go wrong, that went wrong, that went wrong 15 years ago, that look could hypothetically go wrong with your child in 10 years. Yep. I mean, that's all we focus on.
I know.
And we like bring so much of that into our lives.
I don't know if Andrew's told you this. This is tangent. Sorry, but you need to do this. So Andrew, and for everyone listening, do this if you have kids. For every kid, Andrew has formed an email account for them.
Oh, I love this. I know what you're trying
and
to say.
And every single day, or like not every day, but if anything in life ever happens where it's like, oh, that was a really cute moment, mm-hmm. he like voice notes an email to that kid's email mm-hmm. and says like, today you said something really cute.
That's a really, really great or, idea.
Or we had a conversation or whatever. And so in their inboxes, they have hundreds of emails.
That's such a good
just,
idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a couple more questions that I know people will be curious about. Anyone that is a high functioning, high level person, which you are a high functioning, high level person, not just because your natural God given ability to do the things that you did, but also because like you have built a lot of things that have absolutely nothing to do with gymnastics in your life and also a really great family.
Thank you.
And I think a lot of people want to know, like, how do they keep up their well-being in their life when they're so like what is their morning routine? How do they take care of themselves? What are the things that they prioritize? So what are those things that keep you living a good life now?
I would say I don't like complacency. So I think that's what keeps me going. And I married Andrew. If you guys know my husband.
You guys, I wish you knew Andrew.
Every day I try to like reflect on where my vulnerabilities and weaknesses are.
Great.
And work on them. And I have good days and I have bad days, but just not being complacent. So like I was just telling you, social media had become an unhealthy addiction in my life. Where, like, I would go to bed and sit there and scroll aimlessly for 2 hours and lose 2 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. But then I've had this goal of, like, I want to start reading more books. But every time I would go down to sit and read a book, I would just scroll. Now, I love social media. I think it's a wonderful community. It can connect the world. It's also, like, my job. So I don't want to get rid of it. I think there's a healthy balance.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's something that reflecting on isn't balanced in my life. So... This sounds weird. I bought another phone.
I think it's the best idea in America.
I bought a second phone that doesn't have a data plan on it. You just connect it to Wi-Fi mm-hmm. and all of my social media apps are on it. So if I ever have that active thought of like, I want to go scroll on social media, I actually have to go search for another phone, mm-hmm. which kind of, it just places a barrier there of like, do I really need this right now?
And the automatic thumb going to the app on the phone, because there's so many times I feel like that it's unconscious.
Yeah.
It be, as an addiction is.
Yeah.
I've had addictions to other things. I have two addictions Same. Now, social media and sugar. And I really have to get on under control. But it's hard because I love
as
social
have
media.
Crumble cookies sitting right there.
I know. And I ate them this morning. That was my breakfast.
Mallory Irvin.
I know. It's terrible. I hope Amy's not listening to this episode.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, Amy.
And it's really hard because social media for me is a positive thing. It is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I have a good relationship and social media is a positive thing for me, but anything in too much is not good.
But
just like sugar, I like sugar.
I will say sugar is great. I will say that to answer your question, I think the athlete side of me,
I could look at my scales and hone them. I could see like what was wrong. And I just was always obsessive with like making things better.
Yeah.
And I've transitioned that now into life where it's like,
yeah,
what areas of life are like tormenting me or causing me anxiety or whatever, just don't feel good or peaceful. Mm-hmm. And how can I make it better? So I'm constantly trying to shift the scales.
That's a really good thing to do, is the awareness, because so many times, like, I think we're just living.
Mm-hmm.
We're just one thing to the next, and there's no awareness and there's no thoughts of like, huh, is this where I wanted to end up in my life? Is this how I want to feel in my day? Is this how I want to parent my child? I don't know that anyone takes that pause. And I think that that's the athlete in you for sure. And I like how you just described that, how like, you know how to like honing things, mm-hmm. perfecting things. Like, mm-hmm. what if we all just lived like athletes and we're like, I need to perfect this area of my life. I think that's a great word of advice for people today to like think about that. What's another thing that you feel like in your life you do that with?
My marriage.
Yeah.
My husband.
And you have
a
great marriage.
We have a great marriage.
You know, we're both married to like wild animals. Andrew in a different way than Kyle. But like Andrew, yeah. I've seen so many different sides of Andrew in the last like 12 years. Andrew is like a being like no other.
He is.
Like all of a sudden Andrew's getting his PhD and it's like, what? All of a sudden Andrew's flying a plane. Oh, okay. Andrew.
He's your father.
All of a sudden, Andrew knows how to play the guitar, and he's like, hey, Mallory, you want a duet? I'm just like, Andrew, when, what, what?
Yeah. I'd say my husband and I work really, really, really hard at our marriage. Mm-hmm. In that same concept and idea of every night we have 10 minutes where we can debrief the day, mm-hmm. and see if there's anything that we need to, like, talk about. Every month we sit down for, like, monthly checkups. We're currently in counseling just to, like, make sure we're good. We're constantly trying to like know each other better and serve each other better so we can like live life better together.
And you know what's awesome in all these things that you're saying? You already have a great relationship.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what's really cool about it, that you're working that hard on it, because so many people don't work really, really hard on it until they have to work really hard on
it. Until it's too far gone.
Yeah. And like Kyle and I, you know, we had so many battles that we had to fight, mm-hmm. in the beginning of our relationship. And we had all the counseling, and it was just to like stay together, mm-hmm. and like figure it out. And like walking down hard roads together and both of you choosing,
mm-hmm.
to come out of it better. Mm-hmm. You can have the richest, deepest, most amazing, mm-hmm. love of all time.
I have said this many times and I don't think I have found the right words for it yet. So hopefully friend you can interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish I could marry Andrew today again, because when I look back at our wedding, knowing everything we've gone through in the 8 years we've been married, I love him exponentially more.
Mm-hmm.
When I thought like I was at the highest peak of love I could ever feel on our wedding day, it doesn't even compare.
I know.
And I'm like, if only I knew back then how
naive.
That
is so beautifully said.
Oh my gosh.
How
like
awesome
I look
our
back at us and I'm like,
we
have no idea.
You were also like, it felt like
we were babies.
Kid brides, and we weren't kid brides, child brides. There was so much like lust and infatuation. I feel like not lust in a bad way, but like you just like fall in love,
yeah.
and it's so driven by newness,
yes.
and like excitement
smitten.
To be married, because
yes.
we had never been married obviously before, and like the excitement of a wedding day. And now, and it's like we've both been married the same amount of time minus a year. That is such a great thing to think about and say, because I feel the same way.
I will say I have been to one wedding not recently in the past few years where I bawled like a baby, because it was the first wedding I had ever been to where it truly felt like they understood.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were at this level of love, mm-hmm. within their relationship, and you could feel it. What
yeah.
they said, how they looked at each other. It was so mature, and it made me cry. Like, it was Jordan and JoJo.
Because they've already lived
yes.
the life together. They've had the time that we didn't have through the ups and downs.
Every single person at that wedding was...
That is awesome.
It was so cool.
Yeah. That's a cool thing to think about, too. And, like, that's why, like, Kyle's always like, when are we going to renew our vows? And
yes.
I'm like, renew our vows, like, at 10 years or something. There needs to be a milestone. But, like, just to feel what you're talking about right
yeah.
now, that's a cool thing to think about. Because I think so many people think of when you get married, that is the most love that you feel. And I honestly think some couples are like that, because they don't grow through the richness and the deepness of the ups and downs, and they don't get the shovel out and dig to the bottom of all the things, and they don't get to know each other deeply because they don't want to touch the bad stuff.
Uh-huh.
And you got to touch the bad stuff to get to that level of love. And I think that that is so awesome. That I tell Kyle all the time, I love him so much more than I did. It's like a whole different thing.
It's so different.
It's like a whole different thing. But what a great thing that we get to.
We're renewing our vows in 2 years.
At 10 years?
Yeah.
Where's that trip going to go to?
Either Fiji or the Maldives. Okay. We have to.
Then we can have Shepherd and Drew have a little fake wedding.
That'd be amazing.
Drew wants to marry Shepherd so bad.
They'll find out when they're like 24 that it was actually legal.
Yeah. In the Bahamas, this actually stands. Oh, that's funny. That's so awesome. This question is so heavy and obvious that I like can't even ask it. It's like... Since our podcast in 2019, how has motherhood changed?
Oh my gosh.
Life and motherhood. Isn't it funny, like, what can change in 5 years?
Oh my gosh.
Everything. But you know what? Like, not only have our lives changed in that we're in different houses and we have way more children collectively, and we have this way more businesses collectively and great employees, and we've done so many things, but we are different people.
Yeah.
Whenever I was like, when we were talking like a couple days ago, it was just like, you know, Sean and I have been through so many like eras within the last decade, I feel like, where we were working really hard, and then we're like married and we're like so coupley, and then we're like in kid zone, and now we're just kind of in the enjoying life, but also we've built pretty big businesses, so we've got to maintain the business at the same time. But like, we really love living right now. Oh my gosh.
Like, this past weekend was the most perfect weekend we've had.
It was so great. It was so great. And why was it so great? Because it's like, you went to the farmer's market and you got the food, and then we like had the dinner, and then our kids are like playing, and our kids play really well. And
yeah.
It wasn't even peaceful. I wouldn't call it peaceful, because the go-karts that they were riding 100 miles an hour on the concrete sounded like this.
About to, like, kill each other.
Yeah. They were literally, like, I mean, 2 inches from death at any given time.
Yeah.
Because it was just, like, very wild. But we're just, like, living. We didn't take any videos or pictures, really. I was like, I don't even know where my phone is. I was trying to show Sean a picture of that. I had a Victoria's Secret model that was at the In My Sunday shoot. And I was like, I don't even know where my phone is. Like... I really like this phase of life.
It's the best.
Yeah. And we were texting. And I was like, man, I really like this phase.
I feel like you and I are similar in the sense of, like, we spent so much time of our life working for a title or money or achievements or status. And right now, like, none of it matters anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so the most important days of our lives right now are, like, watching our babies play and be happy and smile. Mm-hmm. And you just get to be. And it's just, amazing.
And it's like, we're so lucky right now. Like, we're so blessed. And I know we've built a lot of this, but like, some of it is just that God has really blessed us.
Yes.
With healthy kids and with great husbands.
Yes.
And that our business ventures, for the most part, have worked out.
Yeah.
And like, but he also really blessed us with each other, because it's really cool to have a person that has seen so much of what it took to get to the spot that feels like this.
Yeah.
And I just really like that. You know, it's just really cool to have a pal like you.
Really cool to have a pal. Never forget making spaghetti squash in our apartments back in the day.
Oh man, there's a lot of things. And making 300 cupcakes, because we didn't use catering back then, but we rented out a space, and we were gonna have Andrew's surprise party. He was probably 20. Or like traveling with the East family. Like, where did we go? We went to this random, like, Mississippi State or something. Andrew was like playing football or something.
Mississippi State.
And I can still remember, like, we were riding on these back roads, and there was this little tiny, like, podunk gymnastics place, and I was like, Sean, we were late for the game. I was like, you have got to walk in there. Like, just walk in there, and just like walk in there and be like, can I use your restroom or something? Like, they're gonna freak out. Like, because she was still like very fresh back, you know, you're still fresh, but like, you were like, there wasn't even
still
a
fresh.
There wasn't a Gabby Douglas or like a Simone, or like, you were still like the epitome of, like, you were the only the gymnastics star. What if you had walked in? Like, there are just so many.
We've traveled to Tijuana together.
Man, there are so many moments.
So many.
Oh, I remember when I flew to New York City and you had a fruitcake for me for my birthday.
Because, like, back then we didn't have great balance with food, I feel like. And we were, like, always trying to, like, lose weight and get in shape. But, like, we were just, like, bowling balls and, like, very muscular. Like, we couldn't quite figure out how to lean out. And we really want to lean out that time in our lives. So Sean was, like, really not eating that much sugar. And so we were in New York City. I'd flown in from Vail, like, I was on a ski trip.
It was my birthday.
Yeah, it was your birthday. And I went to, like, one of those little convenience stores. And I put our candles in, like, cantaloupe and, like, and I got you cake socks.
They had cake.
And I sang happy birthday. And it was just me and you. And then what'd you do the next morning? Probably the Today Show or something.
I don't know.
Who knows? There are just so many random life moments.
Oh.
That just me and you got to experience. And I'm just so grateful for. So.
Me too, pal.
I'm glad I got to let you guys in on some of that. This was a great conversation. I know we talked about an hour about all these things. I learned a couple new things. The moral of the story here is just, like, I just love a friendship like this. And I just love that, you know, this just is ours.
Comfortable.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you don't know where to find Sean on the internet, like, just go to my page and she'll be there.
Yeah.
But I mean, everything, I feel like Instagram, you can find everything. The Moment Makers thing that you're doing is really cool.
Thank you.
That I think there are so many things that you are doing that are really cool. But, like, around the Olympics, I think that's one of the cooler things that you're doing.
Thank you.
And people should check out. I'm going to link that. And, like, all things Sean Johnson East.
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And thank you guys for just basically sitting in on this conversation with my best friend. Sometimes these are the best ones. So thank you so much for listening to the Living Fully podcast. Tune in next week for more. Hey there. If you're loving the show, we would love to have you subscribe. So go find that little plus sign or follow button in your podcast app to make sure you won't miss a single episode. See you next week. Thank you to Pampers Cruisers 360 for supporting this episode. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.